Making sure money to address systemic racism wasn't a one-time thing. I'm David Brancaccio with the conviction in Minneapolis of the police officer who murdered George Floyd and the funeral tomorrow in the same city of Dante Wright, a black 20-year-old killed by a police officer who says she made a mistake. Let's check in on policy and money aimed at addressing systemic racism. Joining us from Minneapolis this morning is Mark Morial, chairman and CEO of the National Urban League. Mr. Morial, thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
A bill to overhaul policing in America got through the House of Representatives, but I don't know, it appears immobile in the Senate. Do you see prospects for unsticking that legislation?
There is a pathway forward, but it requires an understanding how critical this moment is. And while the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial is an important moment for justice, it does not do what is necessary to address systemic issues. So the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act is reasonable. It is the best chance that the Congress of the United States has to put a marker down to create a framework at the federal level for changing in policing. But let's be clear, a federal law alone, even a strong federal law, is not enough. The change that has to occur city by city, county by county, town by town, state by state. I've talked to a number of police chiefs who want the George Floyd Justice and Policing Bill. They want to run departments that have integrity and respect for the community, and a federal framework will help. The George Floyd Justice and Policing Bill is to be pro-good policing in America, is to be pro-good public safety in America, and it is not an attack on police. It is an effort to do what we do in this nation time after time. We see a problem, we see institutional failures, and we fix them.
Something else I wanted to ask you about. There are companies that made big dollar pledges to address systemic racism, including announcing money for black-owned businesses. You know, there's a flurry of this last June into July. Some companies swiftly got the money out the door. Other companies are still getting their act together on the pledges. Coming up on a year here, Mark, do you think there's a need for more accountability or maybe monitoring pledges versus performance?
I think that when we get beyond the pandemic, the effect and the results of those investments will be easier for people to see and witness. Secondarily, the new commitment by some foundations and some corporations, in my view, simply leveled the philanthropic playing field. The philanthropic playing field had been so unlevel, like so much of American life, that the important issue of accountability is whether many of these companies understand that a one-time commitment is not what we need in this country. We need a sustained commitment to eradicate structural racism, to build bridges in this nation, to eliminate disparities in health and education and economics. The justice system worked in Minneapolis, but working one time is not what we seek. We seek a change that is long-term, that's systemic, and that's sustainable.
It's always good to talk to Mark Morial, President and CEO of the National Urban League. He's speaking from Minneapolis today. Mr. Morial, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Always great to be with you.
U.S. government agencies, defense contractors, and financial firms have been hit by a cyber attack. The latest round of hacks is not connected to the big solar winds intrusion discovered late last year.
China is believed to be behind this latest cyber attack. Russia is blamed for the SolarWinds hack, which targeted agencies including the Treasury Department. Both intrusions were detected by the cybersecurity firm FireEye. FireEye says the Chinese hackers got in through software employees used to log in from home. FireEye says the Chinese hackers targeted U.S. defense contractors, which the Russian SolarWinds hackers apparently did not attack.
Our Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Computer Weekly says one of the virtual private networks that's supposed to be extra secure when remoting into work computers was the vulnerability. The Pulse Secure VPN might not be fully patched till next month. A new Super League for elite soccer teams in Europe announced just last weekend has abruptly fallen apart. 12 teams from England, Italy, and Spain came together in a multi-billion-dollar attempt to rival Europe's existing Champions League, but a tidal wave of outrage from fans, former players, heads of state, even British royalty put a stop to this. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has more from London.
Passion for soccer runs deep here, so there's been no stiff upper lip over dissatisfaction of the formation of a breakaway league, which would adopt a more American-style format. Traditionally, teams are added or subtracted from European leagues based on how well they perform during the season. Under the Super League format, though, clubs would be added permanently and not face the possibility of relegation. Founding clubs were promised a share of a more than $4 billion grant backed by Wall Street titan J.P. Morgan. It was an attractive offer considering the COVID-19 pandemic worsened many teams' financial positions. And having a guaranteed place in a major European soccer competition each year would provide more stability for superstar players on multi-million dollar salaries. But after widespread condemnation for putting profit over good of the game, all six English teams have backed out of the plan. Now the league says it's considering how to move forward. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Relegation is like the whole team going to the minors. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.